reason.
Sure. Good morning. It is 10 a.m. on March 25th, 2009, time for the regularly scheduled bi-weekly meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. This is Kevin Kramer calling the commission meeting to order, and it's worth noting, I think, that today is our first attempt, at least, at video streaming the meeting over the web. So if anybody's listening online, you may have the opportunity to watch, and if you are, try it and then report back to us as to whether it worked or not or how well it worked and what you may have seen. As I look at the look at it now, there's a little bit of latency from our view, but would be very interested in what people are experiencing that are watching us on the internet. So welcome, and with that, I'll call on fellow commissioners for opening comments. Commissioner, I might add that Commissioner Kalk is joining us by phone.
This is Tony Clark. Good morning and welcome.
And how are you, high and dry, Commissioner Kalk?
Oh, yeah, everything's going on the ballot. The dikes are 95% complete. The big thing now is just to see how high the river is going to crest, because there are some areas in the southern part of the valley where it's crested higher than they thought. So everything's going well. I talked with Xcel Energy this morning, and they've got plans to keep power service going as well as Cass County. So we'll just have to see how it all plays out here.
Very good. With that, I have no items on my out of my portfolio, so we'll go to Commissioner Clark.
We'll go to first of all, item TC1 has been withdrawn. That's the Just Wind Farm development siting application. There was some addition.
Right.
Consent agenda. First, we'll do consent. I move the items in consent.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Now to Commissioner Clark.
Did Brian
hear us?
Yep, sure. No problem. I'm good.
Okay. He's good.
Just need to make sure we get you recorded for the official record.
We hear nothing. We're recording you as I. Maybe not.
The item one in my portfolio was withdrawn. It's Just Wind Farm Development. There's some additional information that they are going to be getting to us before we'll take any action on that item. Moving to TC2, I move the commission submit a request for relief from stay and submit a filing fee of $150 to the United States Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware to permit the commission to commence an action in North Dakota District Court to secure the commission's appointment as trustee under the insolvency provisions of Chapter 6004 of the North Dakota Century Code Public Service Commission case number GE09014.
Verify that case number.
GE09104?
Yeah, I think you said 014.
Oh, did I?
Second.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yep, GE09104. This particular action arises out of a claim that the commission received recently related to at least one check that a producer had from Verisun that had not been cashed prior to the Verisun bankruptcy. Public Service Commission staff personnel in speaking with Verisun have indicated that the Verisun believes there are actually two North Dakota producers that have, for whatever reason, were unable to or did not cash their checks prior to the bankruptcy filing. Of course, once a bankruptcy is filed, all other actions like this or any other similar financial transactions become the purview of the court. The two claims that we understand are out there will total approximately $133,000. The one that we have currently got on file from a producer is one for $105,850. And as I said, to date, the commission has only received the one claim. Verisun has a bond on file of $380,000. So assuming that these are two valid claims and assuming that there are no more, there should be available assets in the bond to pay not only the claimants, but also perhaps the commission's own expenses in this case. Nonetheless, we do need to receive a relief from the bankruptcy stay before we can proceed with it, so that's the first step for us.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 TC3, I move the commission adopt the order and issue Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity number 5392, authorizing Montana Dakota Utilities Company to construct, own, and operate a 19.5-megawatt wind energy facility known as the Cedar Hills Project in Bowman County, North Dakota, case number PU08942.
Second.
This is a wind farm that Montana Dakota plans on constructing in the southwest part of North Dakota. Because it is just 19.5 megawatts, it does not meet the state siting threshold, so we will not be siting this particular wind farm. But because it is an investor-owned utility that's constructing it, it is a piece of plant that requires a certificate of public convenience and necessity from the commission. We had an informal hearing with Montana Dakota Utilities. As you might suspect, there were no... there was no opposition that came forward. These tend to be fairly popular projects when they're sited in a particular location. This is actually close to a wind farm of a similar size that MDU currently operates on the Montana side of the border. This is going to be just to the west of Rheem, very close to Highway US 12. There are expected to be perhaps one or two additional technicians that will be hired in the local area once this is up and running. They have received their conditional use permit from Bowman County. The capacity factors that Montana Dakota is reporting in its existing one are excellent as far as the wind energy industry is concerned, comparable to other wind farms across the country. The estimated cost for this, they reported to us, they thought would be about 5.4 cents per kilowatt hour, which is a competitive source of power, and that's factoring in both the PTC and the North Dakota tax credits that are available. Everything looks in order. It looks to be a good project that fits a nice niche for MDU.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 That ends the items in my portfolio.
Very good. Commissioner Kolk.
Okay. Item BK1. I move the commission adopt the order granting the request of Halsted Telephone Company for designation as an eligible telecommunication carrier for the purpose of receiving federal universal service support in the Hillsborough Exchange in North Dakota, case number PU08872.
Second.
Halsted has met all the requirements. The commission designated Halsted as an eligible telecommunication carrier under Section 214 and 254 of the FCC Act of 1934. I think this is a good idea. They've written a while back and fully support this.
And Tony maybe can remember, they're applying for ETC as a competitor, right? Because is Quest the incumbent in Hillsborough?
That's correct.
Okay. Yes. Is that right, Pat? Okay. All right.
NHTC is a company that has incumbent ETC status for a few lines in North Dakota, I believe, already. It's not a real large company. They're based out of Minnesota. They do serve some lines right along the Red River, and so it's a company that the commission is familiar with.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the final item, BK2. I move the commission issue a notice of filing, notice of informal hearing, and notice of opportunity for hearing the joint application of Otter Tail Corporation and Northern Plains Electrical Cooperative for approval of a service area agreement and issuance of a certificate of public convenience and necessity to establish service area and designate service locations to be served by Otter Tail and Northern Plains Electric within and around the city of Jamestown, North Dakota. Case numbers PU09108. And PU09109.
Second.
Basically, this just lays the groundwork for a series of meetings we'll have in designating areas for these folks to work together.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Very good. That ends the items on the regular agenda. We do have an informal scheduled for this afternoon, and that is about the... and MDU and Mount Trail Williams service area agreements. That's this afternoon.
First one's with MDU, I think.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Kevin, do I need to give Janet or Esther authority to sign those two orders while I'm not there?
Sure, that'd be great if you do that.
Oh, yeah. Considered done.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Should we move, rather than sign right now, should we move right to admin?
Why don't we? We have a very small admin agenda. Brian, did you want to remain on the phone then for admin, and we'll get right to it?
Yeah, I'd like to stay as long as you guys let me.
You're breaking up.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good. Let's do that. We'll go right into Adam. Oh, thank you.
The water has reached the 12th floor.
Yeah. We're high and dry on the 12th floor. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. Very good. Let's see. There is one item on consent in admin.
I'll move the item in consent.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Discussion matters with the commission. Number one is the NuStar public convenience and necessity case. Ilana Jeffcoat-Sacco. Ilana, I read your memo. Very good. It pretty much appears you agree with what we were kind of concluding after the last informal.
Yes, I apologize for the delay, but I had it written a different way, and then I changed it yesterday.
I thought it was well done.
So I think if you authorize me to talk to the ALJ.
Mm-hmm. I liked that, by the way.
And we will set something up, and the ALJ can handle the intervention as well.
Yeah.
If that's okay with
it. I think it's fine. It's the important, you know, and obviously the point being we want it to be very narrow.
Very narrow, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
So bottom line is we have jurisdiction to determine the issue, and we hold a hearing on it, and we narrowly focus it, and we can go from there.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Brian, anything to add to that?
Oh, I think a clear, concise scope is what we're looking for.
All right, very good. Thanks. Number two, NSP meter malfunction resolution case. Ilana?
Commissioners had asked for a memo about the rules. That was a fun one to write, too. bottom line is they're fairly hard to interpret. That particular rule, it's top on our list of things to change, and we do that rulemaking. Mm-hmm. And when you consider that and the time and resources involved in litigation, there's additional support for the staff recommendation that the proposal is of NSP is a good proposal, a proposed resolution.
Okay.
So if you're...
Well, that's what I wanted to know about, so I appreciate the memo, and thanks for the work put into it.
It would go on regular then with a motion, but I would not recommend an approval motion because it's not a formal applicant. I've been telling the company it would be like an acceptance because it's just an elevated version of a consumer problem. I mean, elevated a lot, but.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
I understand. All right.
That works for me.
Brian, that makes sense? And
yeah, I think it does exactly.
All right. Very good.
Okay, thanks.
All right, you bet. Item number three on the agenda, I asked to have this delayed stimulus bill, for lack of a better term, put on it, just to give you guys, everybody, an update and then to discuss it, any strategy. Ilana and I did go down to the Senate Delayed Bills Committee meeting the other day at the request of Senator Chrisman and frankly, Leader Stengem as well. Just to answer any questions should they come up, and then did, related to this bill that we discussed earlier about ensuring that any stimulus money that is used for road construction that requires the moving of utilities, that the stimulus money would cover that rather than ratepayers, and what seems to be a no-brainer, simple thing, they always find somebody to be opposed to it. And in this particular case, it appears the early opposition, at least the formal opposition, is from the Department of Transportation. And their reasoning being that we don't do this, that the federal government doesn't allow it. They're basically trying to make a legal argument that the contracts, i.e., whatever the contract form might be in the form of a franchise with the city or whatever, doesn't allow this political sub or the state to pay for moving of utilities. Ilana has drafted the bill in a way that it should be fine. I have asked Randy specifically, Senator Chrisman specifically asked for some legal help in case it comes down to this sort of legal argument. And to the degree that lawyers can be certain, you know, we have a couple, but I've also requested it. Tony, I think it was your suggestion to call Kyle Rogers, and he was going to try and find an AGA lawyer, but I haven't heard from Kyle since he got back to Washington, D.C., so I kind of need to keep pursuing him. I will tell you, I did visit, Judy called today from XL, and Kathy's in the room, and expressed her appreciation and XL's appreciation for us getting this to this point. It will be assigned to a committee, and it has not that I know of as yet. Do you know? Judiciary. Okay, so it's been assigned to Senate Judiciary Committee, which means there will be a lot of legal discussion going on. So we'll, you know, if you have any thoughts or suggestions on how we would, you know, who we might tap beyond our own in-house legal minds and perhaps some utility legal minds, I should be open to that.
And you know, if AGA can provide someone, I think that would be helpful because, I mean, in talking with them, it sounds like this is not unheard of in other parts of the country. I mean, it's perfectly legal and has been accepted for a long time to have federal dollars pay for utility relocation costs. Now, there may be cities that in North Dakota have chosen to write that in their own franchises right. Where they try to shift that. But, you know, if it ever got to the point where a city simply wouldn't budge and would not sort of try to mm-hmm. you know, create that flexibility to do it, then I think what you end up with, and I don't mind, you know, wouldn't mind saying this to any city leaders, is, you know, if you have additional costs that are being caused in one particular city that aren't being caused anywhere else because you're choosing to force those costs onto utility ratepayers, then it's certainly reasonable to have tariffs mm-hmm. that reflect that there may be different rates charged to consumers in those cities that are causing extra costs that aren't being caused by cities in other parts of the
state. Sure. Well, this little delayed bill may create enough attention to have some of those discussions, to be honest about it. The other thing strategically,
I do know utilities are very, very concerned. I mean, of every stripe, telecom.
Yes, absolutely.
Governor Tony, I mean, is there one or two people in DOT that are ramping this against it, or will it bear fruit to sit down with them and just say, listen, this is what we think, or you think it's they're just wrapped around their legal argument?
I think they have created a legal argument wrapped around their personal preference.
That's what I was thinking.
But tradition. I mean, you're talking. You think we're a traditional agency? Now you know they're deep rooted over there, and understandably, and they've done great work. But I had a conversation with Francis Ziegler, the commissioner, and it was a very good conversation. But I definitely had the sense of where they're coming from, and how strongly they feel about it. Now, what I have not done, and this is the other track of possibility, possible strategy, and that is to talk more specifically to DOT and or other people in the executive branch up the chain of command to say, hey, there is no legal problem if there's not a legal challenge. And why in the world would you challenge this? So, you know, that would be the next discussion perhaps for this afternoon. But, you know, in fairness to everybody, there's a lot going on in North Dakota today that's higher priority than this bill. At the same time, if this bill is scheduled for hearing, it's the only thing going on. It's the only time it's going to happen. And so we kind of need to balance those priorities. And so, Brian, I think your point is right on point, but we don't want to blink because it can happen so quickly.
Sure.
So anyway, you wanted to bring everybody up to speed?
I talked to Senator Grinberg this morning and the meeting we had in town here. Is the session still going to continue, or are they going to shut down the next day or so?
They're going to make that determination today. There's a chance that they may keep appropriations here to keep working on agency budgets, but might dismiss the rest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and by the way, the bill number is Senate Bill 2443. If you want to look it up, Brian, we have a copy of it here.
Okay.
Very good. With that, Tony, you want to talk about the flood effort?
Oh, yeah. You know, the governor's office sent out a memo, and Brian, you probably don't have this yet unless you happen to just be logged on.
Actually, I read through it.
You do? Okay. And I just sent it to the entire group in case the rest of the staff is listening in. It's a very short note. It just states, in response to the need for volunteers, Governor Hovind is urging supervisors and state and local government agencies to allow non-essential local and state employees to help local, state, and federal authorities in the flood effort. Non-essential employees that help officials with flood mitigation should not be required to use annual leave or receive reduced compensation. Local and state agencies must stay open, and supervisors should, at their discretion, retain essential employees that are needed to effectively operate governmental functions. We appreciate your help. All of our employees are essential, but I think what the governor is, I think, stating, which is clear to all, that if we need to operate, and I would certainly be open to doing this and recommend it, a sort of bare bones staff that covers those operations that we need today, answering phone calls, staffing meetings if you have them, I would be perfectly fine with letting anyone who's not needed right away to go help fill bags or do whatever they need to do at home.
You're sure this isn't a test by the House Appropriations Committee? I agree.
Well, I think obviously I'm over already left to come out here and do things, and you can still function. You can still function while you're not in the Capitol, as long as you keep in contact.
Okay. Daryl, will you draft a memo and just send it around after the meeting? And I would just leave it to each director to determine who needs to stick around today. But as long as we've got all our bases covered with at least one fielder, then we can.
Yeah. Very good.
Feel free to dismiss people.
I think the big thing is to make sure we have good phone numbers for these people if we have to get a hold of them. If people leave, make sure they leave a number to get a hold, and a good solid number if something comes up.
All right. Good point. Is there anything else for discussion that I've missed that's not on my agenda that got on late, Esther, the last 30 seconds or so before the meeting?
Kevin?
Yes, sir.
If you give me permit some discretion here and some questions, the whole state is getting hit right now, and a big topic of discussion this morning was if the power companies have to shut down services and how that's going to affect. But what exactly has been the commission's role in the past in these kind of things where, we regulate these folks, but, do we have much play in these type of disasters as they unfold?
Mainly informational. They inform us, and they're always very good about doing it. And then we become, another vehicle for disseminating that information. And more important than that, even, we're prepared to answer phone calls when they come.
Right. It's we're not first responders, so in one sense, I try not to do much to burden them so that we can, sort of get out of their way and let them do their job as first responders. Afterwards, we'll, see how things worked and see if there's issues that we need to address on a prospective basis, having learned whatever we're going to learn over the next week or two. And beyond that, Kevin's right. And that's, when I had my discussion with Mark from Nisbet from XL a few days ago, that was the one thing I asked, is if there's anything that we can do from a PR standpoint to help get out the word, let us know, and we're happy to reinforce those points and keep us in the loop in case we do get the phone calls so that we can get people pointed in the right direction.
I did call all the companies and just ask them to kind of use discretion in the involuntary disconnects, like people who haven't paid on time. I had one customer ask me, I might need to run a sump pump, and they were under a threat of disconnect. Mm-hmm. XL agreed to not disconnect for the people who haven't paid on time, at least until the emergency.
Yeah, I think that was it. XL that suspended. They put out a blanket.
Yep, they did. And the other companies, they're going to keep that in mind as this unfolds too. So they're aware of it, just to have a little more sensitivity.
Sure.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And I was thinking, we have to always talk about, improving the website. But, right now they're losing some power intermittently in the southern part of the valley, and I think it's going to trickle its way all through the top. But, maybe that's something that we have on our website that just says this is, the best information we have, so they don't think they're disconnected or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then when it might come back on, because this could unfold to be a lot, and it could be, if everything holds, it could be just fine too.
Yeah. After it's all done, one of the things that I was thinking about that we could ask the utilities as just a matter of public policy interest would be to total up what some of the costs of kind of the entire disaster statewide have been from a utility perspective. Yeah. And it, just from our rate regulation standpoint, it might be helpful to have that. But that's not something to worry about today or even within the next week. That's something we can talk to everybody about in the months to come.
You brought up money too, Tony. I was thinking about that earlier today too, that there's going to be a big price tag for this around the whole state, and I wonder if that's going to tie into this legislative session and all the state money, or how that's going to work out, because the governor was here the other day, and they're asking for federal money to cover a big chunk of this, but I suspect the state's going to have a big price tag for this too, and how that's going to affect this year's budgeting process. So anyway,
yep.
Okay.
Very good.
Scheduling.
With that, let's go to scheduling, yeah.
I need to get my calendar. I'll be right back.
All right, Tony's going to go grab his calendar. While he does that, the first thing that's on for scheduling, of course, is a possible reschedule of the Wahpeton Otter Tail public input meeting. As you know, Brian,
yeah.
We couldn't have that. And there has been one resident who has demanded a rescheduling of it, and that's just the one we know of. There may be others that would like to have it, and I frankly thought it was a reasonable request. And if at all possible, if we could find a way to accommodate the community of Wahpeton, which is a pretty significant otter tail community, it would be best to do that. Now, how we do that, we could do it just like we did the original one and do it from the hearing room via interactive video, which I guess I'd be inclined to do if possible, and just go through the same show with Ron or whoever, Ron and Bernadine or whoever the Otter Tail might want to utilize.
Ron, I talked to him. He said both he and Bernadine would be willing to do
that. And Wahpeton is the closest community to Fergus Falls of any of the Otter Tail communities. So with that then, when do we want to look to do that?
He recommended Monday or Tuesday, just no specific day, just one of those.
Oh, days. A Monday or a Tuesday, okay.
Yeah.
And we don't have the same stringent notice requirements, right, Counselor?
Right. No real requirements except getting it in the paper if that's something you want to do.
And then we'll have make sure the facility's available with all the flooding and stuff. You know, I don't know how long it'll take till things calm down.
Well, that's a good point.
I don't know if the county will be using the room for their emergency operations or...
That's a good point, too.
If you want it in the Fargo paper, I mean, you can put it in the Wahpeton paper, but if you want it in the Fargo paper, that takes about 2 weeks.
Well, I don't think we'd have to because Wahpeton's a daily, and they have local radio as well. So I think we could... And I actually think it's a fairly newsy item, as a matter of fact.
Do a little extra... PR,
I think so.
To get it published.
Yeah, I think so.
Actually, it might be interesting to see. This is a test case.
Yeah.
If you did a little bit, you know, because it's a small market, fairly inexpensive to buy in.
Yeah.
You know, maybe do a little extra marketing there, see if it draws people in. Or.
Yeah, and then the other customers can watch it on the web now if they missed the first one. So.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work, we're going to borrow the Liberty Tax Service Statue of Liberty suits and stand out on street corners in Wahpeton.
Let's put AIG bonuses on the agenda. That I know everyone will show. You know, I'm looking at if we wanted to do it in sort of the short term. I mean, short term. Wait a minute here. I just lost my place. Okay.
Well, this Monday is going to be too soon.
Yep.
And
it is.
The week after that, I'm out. But 13, 14 are okay.
So like,
the 14th isn't. 13th is okay.
I will be gone, but you know what? That's okay with me.
Okay.
It really does. It doesn't. Let's do it. Let's.
Should we do the 13th?
13th is
fine.
I won't
be able to do it in person in Wahpeton, but I can do it from here.
And Brian, you think we just do it from here on the.
Yeah, I like that.
And that works okay for you, the 13th?
Should we pick a couple days?
We'll do it for the rest of the group, and I think we follow through and let they do it the same way with them.
Should we pick a couple just in case I can't find a facility on that day?
Okay. So the 13th is a Monday, and what would be a good second date then? I mean, Tuesday the 7th works
if
for me, but that
do
doesn't
it,
work
that's fine.
For
me. I won't be here, but that's fine if I'm not. I can probably watch it on the web.
Well, let's start with the 13th. Let's offer up the 13th first.
Well, commissioners could call phone call in, too, if they wanted.
Yeah, I'll be traveling that day, but so probably. But when we go with the noon hour thing... Did that work?
I mean, six or seven would be fine. if we're,
yeah, I can make any of those work. 6, 7, 13th over lunch, that's fine.
There you go, Tom.
6, 7, or 13 with 13 as
13 is the preference. Okay. Well, you know that works for two for sure. So it's not the kind of thing that even requires a quorum necessarily, but it's really more for the company and right. and the public.
Well, yeah, they get to talk.
Yeah. All right. Very cool. That's good. Work session on carbon cap and trade impact summit. Daryl, you wanted to schedule a
I think what we should
to tie up that
do, Commissioner, is just to do some tie up, some finalization of the summit details.
Now that we do have some right details,
we have some details.
Okay, because we have a facility. Do we? We have keynoters.
We've got keynoters. We've got two.
Okay, that's
talking
perfect.
With.
And I think what I'd like to Tom and I'd like to do is just go verify the agenda, verify the invitation notice and the letters and those type of things. If we could do that.
Okay. So how soon do you want to do that?
Probably pretty soon.
Yeah.
It'd have to be fairly soon.
Today would be nice. Well, yeah, I hear you.
Well, could Daryl put something together?
How about tomorrow?
An agenda and just because that's not like we, if you put together a quick agenda and shoot it out, we can all look at it. That's the beginning of something. And
well, that's right. That's a good point. We could put, Daryl, if you could put this what we do know down, that's a good starting point. Would tomorrow work for a work session? I'm wide open
actually,
tomorrow.
Actually, tomorrow would be a good day, I think. Give us some chance to do our finalization on that, too, then. But we do have an agenda, and I know Tom has done some work on an invitation. I think the other thing we want to look at, again, and readdress who we want these sent to, and so that we have a have that mailing list ready or that list. So
okay.
But tomorrow would be a good time.
Yeah, that's probably is pretty good.
Are you going to be able to call in, Brian?
Yeah, that's fine. I can always break away for an hour or so.
All right. What time?
What works? I'm wide open. So
should we say 9?
9 a.m.
9 o'clock tomorrow. That would work.
Does 9 work, Brian? Is that okay for you?
They have the morning city council meetings from 8 till 9, so maybe 9:30 to give me an extra time to get back like today.
Sure. Okay.
9:30 would be good.
All right. And then a work session on Just Wind siting application, Jerry.
We should probably try and schedule it like 9th, 10th, or in that time frame of April.
Okay.
Well, I won't be able to make those days.
We were aiming for the 15th agenda. The 13th would be available, but then we're going to be gone on the 14th and 15th. If
right.
there's any changes, it'd have to come out of it.
Well, yeah, my only day in that time frame is going to be the 13th then.
And I am not available the 13th at all. I mean, I'm really out of pocket.
Should we just schedule it the morning of the 13th then? Or do you want to be there, Kevin?
You know, I don't have to be, but if I can have a draft,
yeah.
I can have
I mean,
a final
it'd be helpful
draft.
To have you there, though. I mean, there's
yeah, it's
some
hard
different
not to.
Issues with this one.
Yeah.
You know, does it have to be the 15th? Because, you know, in the conversation with them the other day, that, you know, nobody's building anything real quick for, I mean, does 2 more weeks really throw them off and do it that week of the 20th somewhere in there?
Well, that, yeah, and that raises a good point. Or we could have a special meeting shortly after the 15th.
Let's, how does the 16th look for everybody?
16th, I'm in Velva all day.
Okay.
What if we backed it up to like the 7th?
No, that week I'm gone, Jerry.
Okay.
I mean, I suppose I can call in. It's not a huge deal, but.
Well, but yeah, again, and I can, yeah, I can't call on the 13th, but my main thing would be if I had, you know, if we had a good, what we think is close to the final draft of the order and had enough time to, you know, individually go over it, we could be efficient, but.
I mean, do we,
no, with what I, heard,
I mean, my concern
know,
is that they've got a lot of work.
We might have one work session, and I don't know that we'll be ready to go after that. There was a lot of questions that weren't answered in that last work session we had.
I mean, they've got a lot of updating to do with these new
yeah.
turbines they've got and new locations. And
okay, how about the 21st?
And landowner agreements. I mean, I just...
I believe me, I am with you.
I guess my thought is if we have the work session later, like Tony said, something, not wait the full 2 weeks if we can.
How does the 16th look? If everybody can do it then. Oh, no, you're in Velva. That's right.
I'm in Velva all day.
And then 17th is our cap and trade thing.
17th is no good. But the next week, I'm pretty wide open.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid scheduling things, but we can put it on there, and I can probably make it, and if not, I will be able to call in. So.
Well, go ahead and what pick about, a day like, what, you mean like a day of the 20th, the week of the 20th?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
What about the 27th?
That's fine.
Brian, does the 27th work for you?
27th is wide open right now.
You know, I mean, quite honestly, this is, we've got a lot going on, and I think Brian's right. There, nobody's building anything real fast, and I think, and Tony makes the point that they've got a lot of work to do. And
just that, in that discussion, there are so many things that they hadn't filed properly. It's filled with all the information we'd asked that they still didn't have. I'm not confident that one more work session will be enough.
I hear you. Okay. Jerry, what do you think?
Let's do it the 27th, and we'll try to have it on the 29th.
What if we put it on the agenda for the 29th, and we can withdraw it if we need to?
Yep. I like it.
Let's do the work session on the 27th, and I think staff has a pretty good idea of where the commission's going, so if they're seeing gaps in the information coming in, you can sort of try to correct it early. And
sure. The 27th.
Time. What time of the day?
Anytime.
10 a.m.?
No difference to me.
10 a.m. All right, is there anything else? If not, we'll close the meeting and we'll sign our orders, and we have Brian's approval for somebody to sign in his behalf.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Good luck.
Yep.